The genocide resolution passes the Senate unanimously. Jesus is missing, and we avert the most difficult of topics. How do these all work together? I'm Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between those topics and the spiritual, emotional, physical, and everything in between worlds that we live in. This is episode number 601 of The Next Step. I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Voskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Voskin brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
People are waiting for Christmas miracles, stars in the sky flashing, shepherds hearing the voices of angels. How about a real miracle? Change of heart. How about that? I got to tell you, I am shocked. I'm impressed. Just an hour ago, we got a message that, yes, the United States Senate, unanimously passed a resolution recognizing the Armenian Genocide. I didn't think this would happen. I really didn't, and especially with the pressure. I'm on record too, right? A couple weeks ago when this went through Congress, through the House of Representatives, I said, yeah, but the Senate is not going to do it. They're not going to go for it. Unanimously passed. So I stand corrected, and which I'm happy that I can be corrected. I still have my reservations about what this all means, but this morning woke up to excitement. Today, in today's Los Angeles Times, one of a friend, she's actually a student that grew up. I watched her grow up, and now just so impressed by her, Sophia Armen, an Armenian-American activist that we've known, and actually she's participated with our In Issues programs for many years, and just a wonderful, wonderful lady. She had a story in the Los Angeles Times. So I read that, and no sooner had I finished that, and actually I got in touch with her, and I said, Sophia, how about coming over and being a guest on The Next Step? No sooner had I said that, that we received notice that the Senate had recognized the Armenian Genocide. So first of all, I want to tell you how fast things are moving, which is good, you know. And yeah, we are not encumbered by yesterday's technology by saying that, oh, well, we're just a podcast. No, we're right on the cutting edge, right? Yeah. This is 601, our 601st podcast. After 600, so many of you wrote in. So many of you, I thank you. Thank you very much for the congratulatory messages that you sent our way. It's very humbling, but I was really ready to say, okay, you know, maybe this is a good time to pull the plug, but no, woke up and all this excitement is happening. So we are here. 601. And we started off with this incredible announcement made that the United States Senate has unanimously adopted, accepted, passed a resolution that recognizes the Armenian Genocide. I mean, you know, you expect one or two people holding back, because this is also in light of, you know, this tremendous pressure that for how many decades have been put on by the Turkish government, and especially with the strong ties between Trump and Erdogan, you go, whoa, this is not going to pass. And it did. So, Christmas miracle, you waiting for things to happen, how about change of heart? I love it. I love it. And it plays right into that. And you know what? We're going to go. I'm looking forward to next week on the next step we're going to have as our guest, Sophia Armin. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to her article, which appeared today in the Los Angeles Times. And check it out. You'll know who my guest is going to be next week. And we'll have a chance to talk, to share some ideas, and she'll be able to give her insight as a young up-and-coming activist, what this means. But for me, I'm very humbled, first of all, to understand that, yeah, the Senate did do it, despite the political opposition, despite the strong arming, and there's still a lot out there that is beyond our understanding. Yeah, I know. In the Holy Divine Liturgy, we have a prayer that says to God, we say, "Your peace is beyond our words and our understanding." So beyond not only our understanding in our thoughts, but also beyond our words. Well, this is also beyond our words, and not on that level, not on the supernatural level, but on a very big political level. So let's see how this pans out. But I'm very excited, very hopeful. I'll put a link on today's show notes, not only to Sophia's article, but also what happened, because this is interesting. The USA Today was the first to report about this, and I thought it was just interesting that of all the different quotes they could have taken to make their point, they pick out Robert Menendez's senators, his words about an Armenian priest. And I just loved it. Let me read. It says, "For decades, Turkey had deployed an army of lobbyists to stop the measure, but that effort fell short on Thursday when Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, pressed for its adoption and no senator objected. Menendez broke down in tears after the measure sailed through as he began recounting the horrors of genocide. Here's the quote. "The killing was done with axes, cleavers, shovels, and pitchforks. It was like a slaughterhouse," Menendez said, quoting a priest who documented the atrocities at the time. "Infants were dashed on rocks before the eyes of their mothers." It was clear, he added, that Turkey's ultimate goal was to eliminate the Armenian people. So there it is. And like I said, it just, to me, it was like the icing on the cake to have this quote come out. Robert Menendez, yeah, he's responsible for it. Let me read you a little bit more. This is from another source. This is actually from the Menendez Senate site. It says, "Today, Senate passed legislation by Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which formally recognized the Armenian genocide on behalf of the U.S. government. After three previous attempts in recent weeks, Menendez obtained the unanimous consent of his Senate colleagues to pass his Senate resolution affirming the historical facts of the Armenian genocide perpetuated by the Ottoman Empire and honoring the memories of its 1.5 million victims. By passing my Armenian genocide resolution, the Senate finally stood up to confirm history. What happened in 1915 to 1923 was most assuredly genocide. There is no other word for it. There is no euphemism. There is no avoiding it," said Menendez. "To overlook human suffering is not who we are as a people. It is not what we stand for as a nation. We are better than that, and our foreign policy should always reflect this. I am beyond honored and humbled to be a part of this important moment of our history." So I'm going to leave it at that for right now. Yeah, a big miracle happens and we're just like, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Now, it's not just about leaving it at that. I mean, there's a point to the next step too. It's, I will admit it, that I never thought that, you know, unanimously this would pass. I didn't think it would pass the Senate, okay? Okay, we admit that, you know, things do happen. But here's the point. It's not about these politics that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the underlying conditions, right? I mean, people are at the bottom of the politics. There are people who have to deal, and they bring in to the equation their own personal backgrounds, their own personal philosophies, their own personal baggage. Yeah. And so when it sinks in this manner, you go, wow, something incredible has happened, and it can happen. It's just like last week when we were talking about the Black Friday events, and I brought up this quote, and I want to thank you. There was a lot of people who caught on to that. Yeah, no, John Lennon did not make that quote about Black Friday, but it was just a general quote in reference to all the materialism in this world. And he makes the point. He says, if people wanted peace as much as they wanted another television set, there would be peace in this world. And I couldn't get that out of my mind. I mean, watching people pushing and shoving to get a television set, to get an extra television set. Yeah, we got problems, right? We're going to get another television set that's just a little bit bigger than the one I have. You know, 55 inches is not enough because there's a 65 inch that's going for an incredible price. And people pushing, shoving, and getting these things. Can you imagine if we pushed and shoved to get peace in the world? That's the miracle. That's what we're trying to focus in on. What does it take? What does it take to get to that point? Okay, we just saw this beautiful demonstration in the Senate. Okay, yeah. I know, they're politicians. They're people who today passed this. And things can change. Things do change. I'm always amazed that as much as we talk about this here in the United States, there is a country in the world who should have been the first person to accept this resolution, right? Yet in Israel, people who have seen a Holocaust, the Armenian Genocide isn't accepted. No, there's no recognition. There's no recognition of the Armenian Genocide as a genocide, the massacres as a genocide. Anyway, the United States did the right thing, and hopefully hearts can change. But let's talk about that hearts. Let's talk about cover-ups. For instance, we're in the Christmas season right now, right? Have you noticed that the word Christmas, and I know, thank you for sharing. Yeah, he's looking at me. Ken's looking over at me like, you're not going there. No, I'm not going there. I don't care about going into a store and the person behind the counter says, Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas to you. I am so sick and tired of that debate. People, oh, you know what? They said Happy Holidays, and I corrected them. I told them, Merry Christmas. Well, good for you, you know? And you write that on your Facebook page, and people like it, and they give you your smiley faces, praying hands. Yeah, yeah, keep up the good work. Okay, let's talk about some real things. You know, and I shared this with you a few weeks ago, like what happened last summer in Turkey. A group of people went into the Armenian monastery at Akhtamar, at Lake Van. We had gone there about 4 or 5 years ago, in 2014, 5 years ago. We had gone there, and I remember we offered a prayer and we sang a hymn. And this was a church group that we had led in a pilgrimage. And I remember one of the Turkish officials came up to us and said, you know, that's enough. And we were incensed, you know, after all, this is our church, this is here. And then he came and he told us very nicely, and I do remember that. He spoke in Turkish, and we had some people in our group who understood, and they translated very nicely. He said that, you know, you guys are taking pictures and videos. You're going to post this on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you may be. He says, for you, it's just something that you're going to post. But for me, it's my job. I have a family and I'm taking care of my family. And all of a sudden it hits you that, you know, these are just people that are trying to make it. And he's not out there to change history. He's just out there to do his job. And he's let you say the prayer. And you need to be respectful of people too. And I remember last summer, there was a group that went to that same monastery and they said some prayers. And again, a guard had stopped them and said, hey, stop. And they said, no, we're going to keep doing it. This is our church and so on. Yeah, that's okay. That's great. That's great. God bless them for standing up for what is right and everything. But here's the question. This same group, what did they do last Sunday? What did they do the Sunday before? Here in America, with all the freedoms, were they in church singing those same hymns? Were they in church doing those same prayers? That's the question, okay? There has to be some kind of sincerity to what you're doing. Just to do it for the sake of doing it. What have you proved? What can you prove? Where does it lead? And it's so too with this whole Christmas thing. People, you know, oh yeah, I said Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. How are you living as a Christian? What's your life as a Christian? Are you out there doing the good things? Are you helping people? Are you promoting peace? Are you spreading love in your communities? I mean, we have hatred going on right and left. Last night, just another shooting at a kosher grocery store. Anti-Semitic sentiments. What are you doing right now in your world, in your community, where hatred is going rampant, where the same politicians that are approving this resolution for the Armenian genocide are the same politicians that you know undermine and have true hatred towards people that are called their colleagues. And you see this panning out in the politics of the world, right? Not just in the Senate here in the United States, but between people. You people out there in Europe right now, look at what's going on with the Brexit. Today there's voting going on in Great Britain. What's the outcome of that? The Brexit vote. I know all of you listening in on Armenia, the changes that you've seen within the last year. Just a couple months ago, I was in Armenia. We took a cab, and this was on the way to Sasnashen, and the driver got pulled over. He was speeding. And he got out of the car, and he went and talked to the policeman, and then he came back into the car, and he was all upset. I said, what's going on? Obviously, he got a ticket. He says, well, in the old days, he says, we could give him a bribe and it would be over. He says, now I've got to go and take care of this ticket, whatever that means. I don't know if it means just paying a fine or if he has to show up in court or whatever. But he was upset that, you know, there's no more corruption, that he can't deal with the ticket in the corrupt manners. Well, things change. Things are constantly moving, and you always hope for the best. What are you doing to be a part of that equation? And that's what I'm bringing up. You know, all these people, they go out and they talk about these things for Christmas time. For instance, have you noticed during Christmas time? Here's a bigger one, okay? Have you noticed that the word Jesus is absent from Christmas messages? And this occurred to me the other day when I was doing a crossword puzzle. It was Christmas. It was actually the title of the puzzle was Christmas New Year. And what average crossword puzzle, there's maybe about 50, maybe about 100 different answers. Not one of them is Jesus. Have you noticed that? When you talk about Christmas, there's no mention of Jesus. Yeah, they get close. I mean, obviously, there's the usual Christmas holiday. The words are like holiday, Santa, gifts, shopping, celebration. And yeah, and there are some religious, well, I want to say connotation. Well, they hit on the birth of Jesus, like Bethlehem is a word that comes up, you know. Stars, shepherds, but there's no mention of Jesus. You know, and sometimes when we say that word Jesus, it also gets thrown into the Protestant vocabulary. You know, they talk about Jesus. What's the Protestant mission statement? It's very simple. You know, we in the Armenian or in the Orthodox, we clutter it up with so much stuff. What is your mission statement as a church? Well, we do this, that, that, that. For the Protestant, it's very easy. The mission statement is two words, right? Jesus saves. Okay, in that two-word expression sentence, you've got this whole gamut of different ways of expression, but there's your mission statement. Do you know who wrote one of the most prolific writings about Jesus? Do you know who that was? 12th century, a saint named Nerses Shnorhali. Nerses the Grace-Filled. A saint of the Armenian Church. Wrote a book called Jesus' Son. I have a copy of it. An ancient copy of it, which I picked up many years ago. Actually, I snuck it. I stole it. Yeah, okay. I stole it. Here it is. Confession. You want, okay, I'll tell you in a minute. But it has also been translated into English, called Jesus' Son. And I'll see if there's, we'll make a note of it. If we can, we'll put something on the show notes so you could check it out a little bit closer. Okay, you want to know my confession story. Okay, yeah. 1977, I was a student in Armenia, and I one of the things that I'd love to do, because there wasn't much of anything that you could do in a communist country. It was communism, but they did encourage the arts and reading. I was very impressed. Bookstores were all around. Of course, you know, they were tilted towards communist literature. You could find Friedrich Engels and Karl Marx all over the place. But yeah, in Armenian too. But you couldn't find religious material. And on top of that, anything that was printed before the revolution, before 1917, you couldn't take out of the country. So in one of the bookstores in Yerevan, I found a book called Jesus' Son, 1795 publication. No, not the price, that's the date. Yeah, 1795 it was printed. And I picked it up and I bought it. I can't remember for how much. It was a couple rubles probably. And now to get it out of the country. Well, I did something conniving. I put it in a book, in a box filled with books. And on top of it, I put Karl Marx on religion in Armenian. I just like put it all together. Yes, the same Karl Marx who said religion is the opium of the people. Plastered it together and sent it out of the country, and it got to America. So I do have a copy of that. It's called Jesus Vorti, Jesus Son. And I make this point because a lot of times we want to give up Jesus, that name Jesus, to more fundamental groups, when in fact it is the center of what our faith is. Here is Jesus Christ, and whatever you feel about his divinity, his humanity, his person, you cannot escape the message that he gave. A message which was not only with words, but with his actions of going up to the cross and sacrificing. And that word sacrifice now comes into play. A couple weeks ago, we had an ecumenical meeting at the diocese. I was the MC. And the beginning, as I'm introducing everybody coming in, you're just surprised by the names, by the titles that precede the names of the guests that are there. We have, of course, the eminences. We have the excellencies. We have your grace. We have the reverend and all sorts of things. And we come down to the very basic reality that we are all there bowing our heads in front of one that goes by simply Jesus. That's it. No titles. You know, no hoopla, no extras, just Jesus. And you know, herein is the challenge, because here is somebody who has given us a formula for peace here on earth, who's spread a message of love, and we complicate it, don't we? Put a lot in there. Anyway, this goes beyond all this, and I want to share some more thoughts in a few moments. Let's take a break right now. We do every week. We play a song of the day. This is the Christmas season. A dear friend of ours and the Element Band out of Dabanjan off of their Christmas album. Let's listen to this one. Element Band, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Yeah, you know I love that song, right? Played you one version last week. Here was a completely unique version. Aradabanjan and the Element Band. I will have a link on today's show notes to this music, to not only this song, but the wonderful album that they've produced. Hope you enjoyed it.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone, oh Constantinople still is Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just like it.
Let's continue on our same theme, but from a different angle. And then if we're lucky, yeah, then you know how it goes. You know the routine, right? We'll be able to connect all the dots together. So first of all, let me start off with some good news that came out from, of all places, from Turkey. Yeah, today, just a couple hours ago, the Armenian Patriarch of Turkey was elected. Now, this is a position within the church. He is an archbishop, but, you know, just as an archbishop might be the head of a diocese, a prelate or a primate, so too the position in Turkey, actually in Constantinople, now referred to as Istanbul. You like that, huh? Yeah, I actually really like that one. Okay, so the Patriarch of Turkey, there's two patriarchs. The Armenian Church has two patriarchal thrones, shall we call them? They're called Ator in Armenian, the chairs, but chair doesn't translate good. Sees, patriarchal sees. One is in Jerusalem and one is in Constantinople or Istanbul. And what differentiates a patriarchate from a diocese is that history, that there's some kind of history involved, one in Jerusalem, of course, the other one in Constantinople within the church, and so on. So we have two patriarchal sees, two patriarchs, and the one in Constantinople, or referred to as the Patriarch of the Armenians in Turkey. Now, what's unique about this is I didn't realize this until I made a travel to Rwanda. When I was in Rwanda in 2006, it struck me odd that the people, the perpetrators of the crime, were living with the victims of the crime, namely the Hutus and the Tutsis, were forced to live together. And so they had to reconcile at some level, right? Because after all, you're going to be living together. Now, in the Armenian case, well, just about every Armenian that we know, think about it, lives outside of the homeland. That's another proof for the genocide, right? After 1915, Armenians were dispersed. They're just all over the world. And the fact that we have a diaspora this large says something about, hey, why aren't you in your homeland? Well, we were thrown out. During the genocide, Armenians left their homeland, except for a small minority of Armenians that remained in Turkey. And just like in Rwanda, these people had to live with the people who perpetrated the crime, the victims and the perpetrators. So here we are 105 years later, and there is a Patriarch of Turkey who takes care of all of the churches, much like a diocese, but this is called a patriarchate. So this archbishop takes care of all the churches in Turkey. Today, Bishop Sahag was elected to the position. And this tragically came after, I'd say, 10, 11 years, that very prolific, very intellectual bishop of our church, namely Archbishop Mesrop Mutafian, had been taken ill and was incapacitated and could not function as the patriarch, but because as long as he was alive, there couldn't be an election. So the patriarchate has gone through a lot of difficulty over the last decade. But thank God today, Bishop Sahag was elected, and his first message to the people was, pray for me. And certainly, we need to pray for people in this position, or leaders in this position. But just the fact of all the story that I told you, what does that make you think about? Think about what we've been talking about where is the message of Christ? We talk about patriarchate, we talk about patriarchs, we talk about bishops, archbishops, and where is the message in all of this? This is what I've been telling you. Like, don't lose sight of what this is all about. So now let's bring it down to what happened over this past week. Now, speaking of the patriarch of Turkey, this last Sunday, I happened to be sitting in Burbank. Actually, not sitting. I was part of the celebration of the Divine Liturgy at St. Leon's Armenian Cathedral. And Archbishop Nurhan Manugyan, the Patriarch of Jerusalem, was there. And he gave the sermon that day. So kind of like interesting, like within a week, you got the two patriarchs, okay? Again, a lot of stuff happening. What's the message? What are we getting at there? Well, last Sunday evening, we held our annual Children's Memorial Gathering. Now, this is a very unique event that we do. It's something we've been doing for the last 22 years. When I was the priest at St. Gregory in Pasadena, one of our families had the tragic loss of their child. And about a year later, we heard of this gathering. It was actually sanctioned by the, not sanctioned, but it was declared by the President of the United States, the second Sunday of every December to be Children's Memorial Day. So we thought, wow, what an opportunity to remember this young girl, Katya Hamparyan. And the family was gracious enough to lend their her name to this gathering. We got together and we remembered Katya that day. And it was part of a worldwide gathering of bereaved parents under a group called Compassionate Friends. So there we were. It was toward the early days of the In His Shoes movement. And we got together and we remembered Katya. Now we have continued this tradition every year on the second Sunday of December. And tragically, we have acquired a list of children now, because every year we get new children that are added to this list of people we remember. So what started off as a remembrance for Katya now is a remembrance for quite a bit. I'd say at least 100 young children that I personally have now known. And what's interesting is that I've known these children, some of them in their lives, some of them I've known in their death. Susan referred to this evening as bittersweet. And when I heard that word, I said, wow, is there a sweet part of it? Because it is really bitter. It is bitter. I mean, you talk about one of the worst tragedies, unnatural, right? The natural order of progression is that you grow up and you bury your parents. The unnatural part is when parents have to bury their children. And it is just bitter. It's the worst poison that anyone can drink. It's the worst experience. But the sweetness is that we stood together. The sweetness is that we held hands together. The sweetness is that we remembered together. The sweetness is that even in their death, we are remembering them and we are getting to know these children. Now, you can't do that if you deny this opportunity. And so many times, and rightly so, I understand this. Firsthand, I understand this, okay? I want you to know this. This is firsthand. I know that this is not an easy thing. You cannot blame anybody for not talking about it. You cannot blame anybody for coping with it, with this such a loss in any manner that they want. But so many times, we, on the outside, refuse to bring this to forum, refuse to talk about these kind of things. We hide these matters, thinking that it might inconvenience some people. Now, does this sound familiar, what we've been talking about earlier? The inconvenience of bringing Jesus into a story. The inconvenience of talking about Turkey as our ally and then saying what they have done, that the truth might come out. And something really struck me, and I shared with you at the beginning that Sophia Armen was quoted inside of the LA Times. But there is a beautiful quote that she says, and I want to share it with you. In reference to the Armenian Genocide, in reference to the Armenian Genocide resolution, okay, 100 years, 105 years after the event, we're remembering and bringing it up in a foreign country for it to be remembered. Listen to what she says. She says, "This might seem overblown to Western audiences, but for a community that has faced ongoing issues of erasure, things like family name, our connection to land, our connection to culture, it is an everyday existential crisis." That is a very powerful statement. Erasure. Issues of erasure. How many times do we hold back on things that make us uncomfortable? How many times do we erase some of the details? Erase what things may not be politically correct. What may not be correct in general. And I think this is what we have done with Jesus as part of Christmas. I think this is what we do with death, that we don't want to deal with death issues. We don't, especially natural deaths when we have young children dying. And I think that the religious community, in trying to save the face of God, they're just as guilty. And I've heard so many times, people just throw this on like, well, it's God's will. Now, let me tell you something, okay? I know we shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it. It's not God's will that children die. It's people's will. You can't throw it on God and say, well, it was God's decision to take that child. And this is one of the tragic lies we've been given, that somehow God is responsible for everything that's happening. We turn it over to God, and when it's a good thing, we say, thank God. When it's a bad thing, we say that, well, God took care of it. Now, we've got to take responsibility. Children die in accidents because people are stupid enough to drive under the influence, drive when they're elderly and beyond their capacity to control a vehicle, drive when they're just generally incapacitated or shouldn't be driving. Children die of illnesses, of diseases that are for a big part. Why do we have such illnesses? Because of the way we've polluted our environment and our lives. And people and children die sometimes because it just happens. It's the imperfection of this world. I want you to picture the moon. It's a graphic we can all relate to. Take a look at the moon. What do you see? You see craters on there, don't you? Craters all over. I mean, with the naked eye, you could look at the moon and you see craters on there. Do you know why those craters are there? Because the moon does not have an atmosphere. So when a meteor hits it, boom, you get a crater. When some object comes into proximity of the moon's gravity pulls it, and all of a sudden you've got this collision. And it hits and you leave a crater there. Well, guess what? The Earth is in the same proximity as the moon. And in other words, there's things that are bombarding and hitting the Earth all the time, daily. But what do we have that the moon doesn't have? We have an atmosphere, right? Yay, atmosphere! It protects us from these things hitting us and causing these craters. We have atmosphere. But you know what? Because we have atmosphere, we also have hurricanes. Because we have atmosphere, we have storms. We have floods. We have tornadoes. Okay? It's just the design of things. You got to get with the program. There's some tragedies. There's some big, big tragedies. And just like what we talked about earlier, and Sophia makes this point beautifully about the erasure. We try to erase things that are not pleasant, as Turkey has done. We do it in terms of our religion, too. We're uncomfortable. Where am I making up these words too? I'm uncomfortable making up words. We're uncomfortable with the idea that we might have to say Jesus and what might people think about us. And because we feel uncomfortable, because we are insecure about our faith, we build up. We build up all kinds of structures around it. Titles, positions, that take our mind off of what is the center figure. Who is the center figure? What is the message of this faith? The message of hope, the message of resurrection, the message of love, the message of ultimate peace. We miss that a lot of times, don't we? Because of what? The erasure. The erasure factor, erasing what we know is real. When you look at the Armenian experience, there's no denying it. Because you see, we don't have any military strategy. We haven't had it. We don't have a military, okay? You're talking about 10 million people today. You're talking about 5 million just 50 years ago. The whole world, you know, you're talking in the whole world. That's a very, very small. There's more people on the freeways, LA freeways, than there are Armenians in the whole wide world. What are you talking about? How did these people last? William Saroyan has a great, great poem. He says that bring two Armenians together and they will create a new Armenia. Wow, that's great, William. Where did they get together? Where do Armenians get together? It's the church. It's the body of Christ. Jesus Christ. You see, and that's where we have to understand the power of Christ. We ignore that. We ignore what's going on. We try to change it. It's the same type of erasure that Sophia referred to regarding the Turks. We do it in our faith. We do it at the uncomfortable things, such as death, and especially death of children. But it brings us to the point that we have an opportunity to change things. We are in the period of Advent. We're getting ready for the newness of Christmas. Advent, what a beautiful season. It's an opportunity. And as I shared with you over the last few weeks, take these next steps as thoughts, as meditation, as seeds for your meditation, for your personal growth. Think about it. What are the things in your faith, in your faith life, that you have erased, that you have compromised and taken out of your faith? Where can you find that strength? Where can you build up that strength? That's what this period is about. And today's message is a real simple one. It's a simple one that begins off with some realities that are happening in the world that go beyond politics. They are the miracles, and they go all the way through to the miracles that we see that even within some of the most tragic deaths, you have a sweetness. The bitter is combined with the sweetness to truly say it is bittersweet. In other words, we are not saying the bitterness is not there, and we're not saying that it is completely sweet. There is the bitter and the sweet hanging hand in hand, working together, because that is the reality of life. I'm going to call it a day right now, okay? And the piano player's here. What more can we want, okay? Here's Susie. That's what we could want. Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Thank you, Susie, for your announcement, and ways for people to connect. Hey, listen, I want to share with you a couple things that are going on. First of all, thank you very much for supporting us, for being part of this ministry. Today was the first podcast of our next 600 series. We are at 601. No, it's the first podcast that we are doing completely digitally. Okay, we have always recorded on a hard drive that is a moving. Okay, as much as it's digital, there was an analog component to it in that, you know, it was built on these drives. Today we are operating on a complete solid state system. I don't know if you could hear a difference in the voice, but next week we're going to be building on that too. And that's all because of, and thanks to the donations that you send in. They take us into new directions, and that's what we're all about. During this coming week, I'm going to be at the St. Gregory Armenian Church in Fowler on Sunday, and they're having a great event taking place. And in the evening, that same evening, I'll be at the FLY event, Freedom Loving Youth. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you some of their stories next week, because Bishop Armush from Damascus is going to be here, is in town, and he's going to be sharing with us the work that they're doing not only in Damascus but also in Armenia with some of the poorest of the poor, some of the most neglected people in this world. So I'm very excited about meeting with this group. That's going to be this coming Sunday. And you know what? We'll put a link on today's show notes. There might be some tickets left. It's worth checking into if you're in the Los Angeles area on this Sunday, the 15th of December. Do check that out. There is so much going on, so much I want to share with you, but we'll get to it next week. I want to thank you for joining us today. Remember, we're on all the socials and at the mothership inhisshoes.org. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put together today's show, on behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take care. Rascal out!